You'll be turning to the book of Psalms again, the book of Psalm and Psalm 34 particularly in just a moment. We've been discovering that David is God's beloved king, and we've been trying to learn a little bit about him. He's set before us in the New Testament as an example. The writer of Hebrews sets him up and as an example for us of what it looks like to be victorious, what it looks like to be a conqueror. And we discovered in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11 that the reason why that David was a conqueror is because he operated by faith. It was by faith that he subdued kingdoms. It was by faith that he stopped the mouths of lions. It was by faith that, ladies and gentlemen, he was victorious over those enemies of God that we read about here in the Old Testament. He operated by faith. We've studied a little bit about King David, and we discovered that God chose him as a young lad. We studied about the choice of this beloved king, and God chose him out of the sheepfold when he was tending the father's sheep, and anointed him. Samuel did, and everybody was surprised. Nobody would have thought that David would be the one. Not even Samuel himself would have thought that David would be God's choice to lead the nation, to be the shepherd of God's people. God chose the least likely, the very one that nobody else would, but God chose him. And we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that not only did God choose him, but we also discovered that also God worked in him the kind of character that he desired in a king, that is described his character as being a man after God's own heart. And that is that he loved God, and God loved him, and there was a heart connection between David and God. And we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a covenant that God made with the beloved king that lets us know that the whole thing about David is much bigger than David. It's looking forward to the promise of an eternal king who will sit upon the throne of David. And we know that's talking, of course, about our Lord. And then we've been looking over the last several services at the conquest of this beloved king. David was victorious. And he was the one who was a great conqueror. And we discovered that he began his life of conquest and conquering while he was still a shepherd of his father. That is, while he was still the shepherd, he was already taking down the lions and taking down the bears. And when Goliath went down into the valley, he went down into the valley and with his little slingshot, his little shepherd's slingshot and a stone and took down the big giant. He's already a conqueror even while he is a shepherd of his father's sheep. We discovered he continued to be a conqueror when he was the soldier of his king. That is, when King Saul made him a soldier in his army, he was defeating the Philistines and the other enemies around the people of God. And when King Saul turned on him and he had to flee as a refuge because of the jealous, paranoid, demon-possessed king, ladies and gentlemen, God protected him during that time. For some 10 years, he was a fugitive hiding from Saul in his army. And yet we find that when it was all done, Saul was dead and David was sitting upon the throne. He was again victorious and a conqueror. We discovered that David continued to be victorious even as he was the sovereign of his nation. That is, he sat upon the throne of Israel as a sovereign king. God gave him victory after victory. The enemies on the outside, God gave him victory, and he expanded the borders of Israel, and it became a prosperous nation, one of the great nations, one of the superpowers of that day. David led them to victory over the enemies on the outside, and then, of course, there were the victories over the enemy on the inside when Absalom, his own son, rebelled against him and tried to overthrow him and take down his own father from the throne and become the king himself. Even then, ladies and gentlemen, even though David had to go into hiding for a short time, and even though it was a difficult, dark, depressing, distressing time in David's life, when it was all done, ladies and gentlemen, David was sitting back on the throne once again, victorious and a conqueror over the rebellion that was brought against him. We discovered it was while he was a shepherd of his father's sheep and while he was a soldier in his king's army and while he was the sovereign over his nation, that is, over the nation of Israel. But we also discovered the reason why he was victorious is because he was the servant of his God. The reason why he was victorious is because he was the servant of his God. David was God's servant. That is, he had surrendered himself to the will of God, and he was listening to the word of God. He was obeying God's purpose and God's plan. He was a servant of his God. And that's why the writer of Hebrews highlights him as being one who walks by faith. The servant is one who listens to their master and by faith, or trusting the words of the master, simply obeys what the master tells them to do. David was a servant because he was obedient to the master. And that is, he was listening to the word of God. He was trying to hear what God had to say. And that is, as David fought the enemies from without, and as he battled from the enemies from within, he was searching and seeking, what is God saying? And when he had a word from God, that is, when God spoke to him, he obeyed what God said to do. That is, he would inquire of the Lord, should I go battle against the Philistines or the Moabites or the other people groups around me? He would get a word from God, and then he obeyed the word of God, and God moved in a miraculous way and would give them victory after victory after victory. That's the kind of man David was. He operated by faith. And we looked at some of the battles that he fought, and we saw him doing that in 1 Samuel 23 and 1 Samuel 30 are the two examples we looked at in the service Wednesday night, and we discovered in the battles that he fought, David got a word from God, and ladies and gentlemen, he obeyed what God said to do. When God said moved, he moved. And when God said stay, he stayed. And when God said fight, he fought. And when God said run, he ran. When God said hide, he hid. He just did what God said to do, and that's the reason why he was victorious. It didn't always make sense. It doesn't make sense to me sometimes when we read about what God told him to do, but he just learned how to trust God, just how to operate by faith. And so there was the battle that he fought, and then there was the Psalms that he wrote. We discovered that in the middle of all that turmoil, in the middle of all of that anguish, David is writing these Psalms. Some of these Psalms may have been written during that time. Others were written as a reflection on those dark times as he looked back on them. And he remembered all of those difficult periods of time that he went through. He wrote in the Psalms. And in so doing, ladies and gentlemen, he gave us some insight into why it was that he was such a great conqueror, why he was victorious. You see, the Psalms, when you read through the Psalms, the purpose of the Psalms is more than just to inspire us at times. A lot of times when you and I are reading, we want to read something to sort of inspire us. We might read through the Psalms and they're sort of inspiring. But there's more than inspiration in the Psalms, ladies and gentlemen. There's information in the Psalms. It's not just for inspiration, emotionally lift us up, but information to teach us how to live. And that's when you get to reading in the Psalms, you'll find out that David, ladies and gentlemen, is not only trying to inspire you to feel better about your circumstances, but David is trying to inform you about how you can be victorious in the middle of the struggle you're going through, in the middle of the battle you're facing, in the middle, ladies and gentlemen, of the darkness that you're facing. And that is, he gives us some information about how to live in victory, and you and I should pay careful attention to it. Now, one of the reasons why that the Psalms are a little bit hard to study through, they're great to read through, but they're kind of hard to study through, and they're a little bit difficult to preach through, is because they are poems, they are poetic. And sometimes poetic language in the Bible is a little bit harder to put together and to sort of outline, like I like to do, and detailed outline, and lay all that for you. And so it's a little bit more difficult to be able to do that when you're reading this kind of language and dealing with this kind of literature, this kind of a genre in the Bible. But nevertheless, we are wise not to skip over, but wise to consider not the inspiration, but the information found in the Psalms that David wrote. And we looked at a couple of them this morning, and we discovered some themes in those Psalms. And that is, we discovered that, first of all, he's writing about faith, about trusting God over and over again. He's writing about trusting God that is operating by faith. We also discovered that he's writing about fear, and that he's writing about fearing God. That is, he's encouraging those who are reading his Psalms to fear God, that is, to respect God more than you do man. Hey, listen to me now. He's encouraging us to stop fearing man and start fearing God. When I'm talking again, to remind you, because we'll see those themes again, when we're talking about fearing God, what we're talking about is having more respect for what God says, more reverence for what God says and reveals than we do about what man says and man reveals. That is, on one side we have man's opinion, on the other side we have God's revelation. And you and I have to decide who we're going to fear or respect more. Am I going to respect man's opinion or God's revelation? And it's great when man's opinion lines up with God's revelation. But ladies and gentlemen, remember now, His ways are not our ways, and God doesn't see things like we do. And oftentimes there's a conflict between man's opinion and God's revelation. Oftentimes there's a difference between what we see and what God sees. Oftentimes there's a big difference between our reason and God's revelation. And so I have to decide who it is that I'm going to fear, man or God. And you can always tell who it is that you fear, and the reason why is because that's who you obey. That is who you obey. You know, whenever I was growing up, there were times whenever I had friends that maybe might want to do things that I knew that my mom and dad didn't allow me to do. And for that reason, I had to make up my mind who I was going to fear. Was I more afraid of the opinion of my friends, or was I more afraid or respectful of my parents back home? Now, I'd like to tell you that I was always more afraid of my parents, but that isn't always the case. But generally, it was. Most of the time, I had enough respect for my mom and my dad that usually I tried to make the right choice. I tried to think about, now, what is it that they would want, and what kind of trouble am I going to get in if I do that? Because I don't want to be in trouble with mom and dad. I mean, now listen to me now, those of you that are younger. This is the reason why you ought to fear mom and dad. The reason why is because I was living in their house. And I wanted to remain living in their house. I didn't want for them to decide, you know what, one of these days you keep acting up like that and then I'm going to turn you over to some kind of another place and send you to the children's home or somewhere else. I didn't want any of that. I wanted to remain living there. And by the way, I like to eat, and I found out I not only am living in their house, but I'm eating their food. It's not my food. I didn't buy it. It's not my house. I didn't buy it. It belongs to them. I wanted to continue living there, and I wanted to continue eating their food. So I found out the key to doing that is to respect mom and dad. That is to fear mom and dad more than I do the opinions of others. And so when my buddies were going to go do things that I knew that my mom and dad wouldn't want me to do, I decided I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to go in that direction, and for those reasons. I want you to know that the fear of God is similar to that, and that is that we have such respect for God and reverence for God that I'm going to do what it is that God says to do, and that is that when I think about making a decision between the reason of man and the revelation of God, I think I'm going to go with the revelation of God. That's how David was. That is, David probably had advisors who were advising him. No doubt he did. He had many trusted advisors who were advising him. And he had people that he talked to. And he had generals in his army that advised him. But I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that oftentimes David made a decision that had to be contrary to the reason of his advisors and contrary, ladies and gentlemen, to the opinions of his military leaders. And the reason why that he made those decisions is because God spoke to him. And he just made up his mind he was going to do what God said to do, even if it was in contradiction to men's opinions and their reason. Now that's fearing God. And it's the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? Then you need to learn how to fear God. Man, listen, the fear of man brings a snare to your soul. That is, you'll find yourself in a trap if you fear men more than you do God. Well, David was that kind of a man. That's one of the themes, and that is the theme of faith. That is, obeying what God says is the theme of fearing God. That is, reverencing what God has said. And ladies and gentlemen, there's also the theme of forgiveness. And there's a David knew that if he was going to be the man of God they needed to be, that he needed God's forgiveness. We looked at that passage in Psalm 32 in the service this morning, and we discovered that when David sinned against God and he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, on that occasion the word of God came to him. And the word of God that many times gave him direction, the word of God also brought conviction. Say it again. The word of God that oftentimes brings direction for our decisions sometimes brings conviction to our souls. As we see ourselves in sinful areas of our life, and David, whenever he's confronted by the word of God from the man of God named Nathan, the Bible tells us that he got honest with God and he confessed his sin in Psalm 32, and it's recorded for us in Psalm 51, and he just got honest with God and he confessed it all to God, and the Bible says that God forgave all of his iniquity, and God didn't impute any more sin or guile to him any longer. God completely forgave him and removed it off the record book. book, so there wasn't there anymore. God didn't see sin anymore. Now, there were some consequences that came as a result, but I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that God completely forgave him. And listen to me now, God removed his sin off of his ledger. No longer was that sin imputed to him anymore. You and I should re-examine the doctrine, the biblical doctrine of forgiveness, and it would help us deal with a lot of the legalistic tendencies that we often have in our life. And I tell you that David did, and he knew he needed God's forgiveness. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. And that the Word of God came to him, and he stepped out by faith. The Word of God came to him, and he feared and respected what God said. The Word of God came to him, and he repented and found God to be a forgiving, merciful God, so that he can continue on being the man of God that God wanted him to be. God cleaned him up and straightened him out. That is, God did as a result of that. Well, in Psalm 34, if you're there already, you'll find out that this psalm was written during a time in which David, ladies and gentlemen, was hiding in the Philistine city of Gath. You might remember that King Saul was hunting him down and looking for him, and he was a fugitive, and he was on the run. And the Bible tells us about an occasion in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 21, 22, an occasion when he took refuge in the Philistine city of Gath. Now, I find that rather amusing, don't you? Maybe a little bit ironic, that here he is, David, and he's in the city of Gath. Now, you know who lives in Gath, don't you? Why, the Goliath boys live in Gath. That is Goliath, the big giant that came down there in the valley when David was just a boy, a shepherd of his father's sheep. They live in the town of Gath, that is the Philistine city of Gath. And you know already, I know you know this already, that there are five of those boys. Now, there's not five anymore, and the reason why is because one of them went down in the valley. He not only went down, but ladies and gentlemen, he lost it all in the valley. When I say he lost it all, I mean David cut his head off and with his own sword and kept Goliath's sword and also his armor and kept his head and carried it around for a little while. Remember when he went to meet King Saul and after that occasion, he was carrying the head with him, and we spent a little bit of time in a previous service just wondering what a dead head could say if it could talk. Yeah. Oh, what a story it would say if that dead head could talk. Oh, it would tell King Saul that, listen, you don't have to be a coward. You can step out by faith. And listen to me now, you don't have to worry about the reason of man. Go ahead and fear God. And by the way, listen to me now, God will forgive you if you'll just confess everything to him, and God will use you. Hey, King Saul, I know you've messed up, but if you'd repent, God would forgive you. He did David, but he wouldn't repent. That's why God was removing him as king, because, ladies and gentlemen, he had an unrepentant, unbroken heart. But I tell you that it was down there, and there was that boys from Gath. Now listen, one of those boys went down, that is the big giant. I don't remember what his name was. He's just a giant from Goliath was his name, wasn't it? Down there. And he's got all these other brothers. I knew he had a name. I just couldn't remember it. Anyway, I got to get the kids back up here if they know. But anyway, Goliath went down. But you remember now there's four brothers. Now, I'm just assuming, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming they're still hanging around Gath. That's their hometown. It's been a few years now, but here he is, David. He's grown up a little bit since then. No doubt his appearance has changed maybe a little bit. He's gotten more mature. But obviously, the man David is well known. He's well known among the Israelites for sure. And that is, he walked in that parade and all the women were dancing and singing, remember? He's well known among the Israelites, but I have a feeling he's also well known among the Philistines as well. You see, not only did David, ladies and gentlemen, not only did he take down Goliath down there in the valley, but the Bible tells us that whenever King Saul made him a soldier in his army, that he also sent him out to battle against the Philistines on one occasion at least. And we kind of think that maybe he might have sent him out there just assuming that the Philistines would win the battle and David would be killed in the battle. He was paranoid about David already and trying to find a way to get rid of him. And he sent him into a really hot battle, into a place where he thought he would go down and die. And then the opposite happened. God's power was on him. And as a result, David defeated the Philistines as a soldier of King Saul, and his popularity continued to soar. Don't you know the Philistines know something about David? Oh, they know who he is. So David, the Bible tells us that whenever he's running from King Saul as a fugitive. That is, Jonathan's told him, you got to get out of here, you got to get going. And David is now a fugitive, and he goes down there to Gath. And just to make a long story short, the king, that is the king of the city down there in Gath, has a pretty good idea who David is. And David's got to find a way to get out of there. That was that occasion when David pretended to be a madman. That is, he acted like he was crazy. He acted like it was something really wrong with him, something really strange about him, hoping that he wouldn't be recognized and that he could get out of Gath while he could get out of Gath. And do you know that in the middle of all of that, God protected him from his arch enemy in the city of Gath? He writes about it in the Psalms. God gave him victory in that difficult, dark time. When he was right in the middle of the enemy's city. He was in the stronghold of the giants of Gath. And God helped him right in the middle of it. Now listen, you've been in some tough situations, haven't you? But not like this. The only way out is for him to feign madness, insanity, to wiggle his way out. And God helped him. Gave him grace and mercy. In Psalm 34, read about it. If you're there, listen to it. And that is, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. That is, every time I'll praise God, no matter where I'm at, where I'm doing. Hey, even if I'm in the middle of the enemy camp, even if I'm in a stronghold of the Philistines, I'm just going to praise God at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And the humble shall hear thereof. That is, listen to me now, those who are humble, ladies and gentlemen, those who are broken, listen, they're glad when they hear the people of God rejoice. When they hear David rejoicing, those who are humble, they are glad to hear the man of God rejoicing. I want you to get a hold of that for just a moment, because not everybody's always happy when the men of God and the women of God and the people of God start rejoicing. That is, when those who are boasting of the Lord, when they're blessing the Lord, when they're praising Him with their mouth, some folks get all upset. Now, the reason why they're upset is because they haven't been humbled yet. That is, if your heart ever gets broken before God, if you ever find yourself broken before Him, then when the saints are rejoicing, when David's rejoicing, when the men of God like David are rejoicing, you'll be glad. Amen. You'll be glad they are. And you see, somebody might look at David and say, he shouldn't be doing that. David shouldn't be praising God like that. We know all about David. He shouldn't be praising God. But listen, those who've been in the dark place of brokenness like David was, you know how good God is. You know how merciful God is. You know how gracious God is. And when you've been in that place of brokenness before Him, down in the pit where God lifts you up and helps you out. And so when you hear the saints of God and the men of God rejoicing, you're glad you've been there. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Go ahead. He said, if those of you that are glad, why don't you just go ahead and praise God with me, brother? You said a little bit earlier, Zach, and that is, why don't you just go ahead before the rocks start crying out, amen. I mean, before the concrete God starts crying out, before the foundation of this building starts lifting up and praising God. Why don't you just magnify the Lord with me and let's exalt His name together? Yeah. Go ahead and praise Him. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that or not. You ever get broken before God? You ever get down in that dark pit like David was in? You ever get down there and need God and really need Him and God shows up? You ever get down to that point that He swallows you up by His great love? You ever get to that point like Jonah, that there's a fish's belly already ready to preserve you? It's not a great place to be, but down there you find out how much God loves you and cares about you, and when He spits you out, you're ready to go. If you ever get in that belly and get in that place of brokenness like David did, and if you ever get down there, then you'll be ready to praise Him too. Listen to him. He begins to describe that experience in verse 4. He said, I sought the Lord. I began to seek after God in that dark, dark place. I sought the Lord, and guess what, ladies and gentlemen? He heard me. And guess what he did? He delivered me from all my fears. I was scared. I was afraid. And God, I cried out to God and God heard me. And he delivered me from all of my fears. They looked upon him and they were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. Hey, the poor man cried. Hey, the poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him. Out of all of his troubles, David's describing himself. That is he, the one who's poverty-stricken, the one who's desperate, a fugitive from place to place, a man who's trying to find a place of refuge to hide from Saul. He's crying out to God, and he said God saved him. Out of all of his troubles, God saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. You've heard that verse so many times, have you not? And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that God surrounded this man, David, with angels from heaven to protect him. Well, he'll do that, you know. And that is when the enemy forces are trying to destroy the man of God named David, this great beloved king that God has chosen, anointed, and set apart. I'll tell you, God will send some angels just to surround him and deliver him and to bring him through that difficult time. Boy, he did David. David is just trying to tell us what happened. He said, go ahead and taste and see that the Lord is good. And he is. He's good. And he said, blessed is the man that trusts in him. There it is. David said, you know the reason why I'm so blessed? The reason why is because I'm trusting in him. That is, God spoke. David trusted what God said. Listen to me now. That's the key. It's walking by faith. And that is, when I know what God has said, I'm going to trust what he said. I'm going to fear him. I'm going to respect what he said more than anybody else. You can give me your advice. You can tell me what you think. But it makes no difference compared to what God has said. When God has spoken, that settles the issue. No matter the opinion of man, no matter the advice of the counselors, listen, when God has spoken, that settles the issue. And David is saying, I trust him. That's why I'm blessed. That's why I've got a little taste of how good God really is. Listen to me now. If you want to taste the goodness of God, sometimes the Lord has to get us real hungry before things taste really good to us. Amen. You know how it is. Have you ever noticed whenever you're really full and not hungry and it's time to eat, things just don't taste as good? As a matter of fact, I found out for me anyway, and I know it's true of you, and that is when I'm full and I'm not really hungry, I don't really even, nothing even smells good. And Teresa will say, what sounds good to eat? And I'll just say, nothing. I don't know. I say that all the time even when I'm hungry, but it really say it then. I don't really care. Nothing really sounds good. When you're full, nothing really sounds good. But listen, when you're hungry, everything sounds good. You know, the advice of people that are supposed to know a lot about shopping is you're not supposed to go grocery shopping when you're hungry. Now, you know the reason why is because you're going to overspend. Everything looks good, and you think, I'd love to have some of that, and I'd love to taste that. And the reason why is because you're hungry. And when you're hungry, when you sit down to eat, everything is tasting better than what it normally does. Oh, listen to me now. You know, sometimes God will just let us get good and hungry. He does. Now, I know that we have a brand of Christianity in this country that teaches that you ought to be full all the time. And that is, if you're walking with God, you're always going to be on a mountaintop. If you're walking with God, you're always going to be full. Your emotions are going to always be up here. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that that's just not true. It's just not. I'd like for it to be. I'd like to live on the mountaintop all the time, wouldn't you? Spiritually speaking. Emotionally speaking. I'd like to be full of great emotions every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Wouldn't you love that? But my experience in walking with God has been not that. And there's a found out that while I get to visit the mountaintop once in a while, I don't live there. That is, I live in the valley. Now, the reason why living in the valley is better is because it's down the valley where things grow, not on the mountaintop. We do our best growing down there in the valley. You know, sometimes God will just let us go through the valley just so we get hungry for Him, so we need Him. So we pray, we're not just saying prayers no more, but we're crying out to him. Now listen to me now. When you're down there in the valley, God gets you real hungry for him. When he shows up, it tastes good. It really does. When God speaks to you, it's special. Oh, when you've been seeking Him and He speaks to you, it becomes special. When you're in the enemy territory like David was, when you got the giants of Gath, the brothers of Goliath and his friends and his city leaders looking at you like, you look like that guy. When you feel danger all around you, and all of a sudden God shows up, it really tastes good. That's what David is telling us here in the psalm. Taste and see. Go ahead and taste and see. The Lord really is good, ladies and gentlemen. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. And he gets into the theme of fear again in verse number 9. He says, oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. There is no want to them that fear Him. That is, those who respect God instead of man, as we explained a little bit a moment ago. Those who fear God. Listen, those are the ones who find that God is meeting their needs. That is, they find themselves without any want. Now, when the Bible says here that there is no want to them that fear Him, that what the Bible is indicating to us here, that God provides what we need at the moment that we need it. It doesn't mean that God gives us everything we want. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced more today than ever have been, and that is when if God ever gives you everything you want, then ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be in trouble. Worst thing in the world could ever happen to most of us is if God would give us what it is that we want. But I'll tell you what He'll do. For those who fear Him, those who respect God more than the opinions of men, listen to me now, God will provide what you need. And He'll do it at exactly the time that you need it. He sure will. Now, I know you don't like that, and I don't either. It's really uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable, ladies and gentlemen, not to have plenty and to have abundance and to have more. It's uncomfortable to not know where your need is going to be met before you get there. And that is, I don't know about you, but at our house, we like to have a refrigerator full of food. And the reason why is because we might get hungry and we might just go to the refrigerator and grab something to eat. And we like to have some food in the cabinets just in case the refrigerator gets a little low. We can pull some out of the cabinet and have something to eat. And we like to have a few dollars in the bank just in case something goes wrong and we have a little bit of money to pay for whatever it is that goes wrong. And you do too. And that is, all of us like to have enough that we don't have to really think about and worry about the next day necessarily. But I tell you that there are times whenever God makes us dependent on Him day by day, hour by hour. He makes us need Him. For those who fear Him, God provides. Those who, listen, respect God more than the opinions of men. If you follow Him and live by faith, it may lead you right into enemy territory at times. But listen, those who fear God, God will provide what you need at the moment that you need it. He sure will. You may not get it beforehand. You say, Pastor, I'd make that decision, I'd go in that direction, I'd do it. If God gave me this, I would do that. Listen to me. No, listen, you and I step out by faith, and that is, we obey on the basis of God's word alone. When God says, David, go, David went. And David found out that when he got there, God provided what he needed when he got there. He sure did. The goodness of God provided everything David needed in the journey. When David needed God's help in a battle, God helped him. Not before the battle started, but right in the middle of it. Hey, when David needed provision, God provided for him. When David needed direction, God gave it to him. Not beforehand most of the time, but many times at the moment that he needed, God spoke and revealed to him what it is that he needed to do. He didn't have the battle plan laid out for him months in advance. But I tell you, when he got into the battle, God gave him clear direction and spoke to him and revealed it to him. Those who fear God, they're not going to want. Why, the young lions, now they lack, verse 10, suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want. Those who seek after God will not want for any good thing. That is, God's going to provide. His goodness is going to provide what it is that you need. Right in the middle of your need. Now listen, Those who are seeking the Lord, God's going to provide what they need. Now, the idea of seeking there, again, is the idea that I'm needing something and I'm searching for it. This is not the idea that I'm just saying my prayers at night and, you know, God laid me down to sleep and going through my prayer list and mentioning grandma and grandpa and all the neighbors and the other people, just kind of going through a list. Not anything wrong with that. But when you get beyond that and start seeking, it means I'm searching for something that I need. The idea of seeking is something lacking that I'm looking for. Something missing that I need in my life. And I'm searching and I'm seeking and I'm turning to God to meet that need in my life. And the Bible says that when you and I get to seeking like that, then God's goodness then comes into action. That is, when we get to seeking God for what it is that we need in our life, then we begin to experience God's good provision. We won't lack for any good thing. Listen to David, verse 11. I love this verse. Come, you children, hearken or listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. If you'll come and listen to me, here's what I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you to fear God. And this is David. Now, David could have been teaching them a lot of things. He could have been teaching them the best way to defeat a lion. He could have done a course on that. Listen to me now. He could have done a podcast on how to take down a lion. And here's what he would say. If you find that there's a lion that's taking one of your little lambs, what you do, number one is, and we got a number, bullet points. Number one, chase the lion down. Don't be afraid, chase the lion down. And by the way, number two, whenever you get to the lion, smack him as hard as you can right on the jaw and pull that lamb out of his mouth. Rescue the lamb. And number three, grab him by the hair, by the beard. And number four, drag him to the ground. And number five, when you have him on the ground, finish him off, take your little sword and stab him right through the heart and kill him right there. A podcast, David is giving advice. If all of you want to know what David has to say, he can teach you how to kill a lion. He can teach you how to kill a bear. He can teach you how to take down a great giant down there in the valley. He could do that. He could tell you, get your little slingshot, and here's how you wind it up, and you get a certain size stone, and make sure it's round and smooth, and you get it in your slingshots, put it just right, position it just right, and you swing just right, and he'll teach you how to release that. He could give you a podcast on how to take down a giant with a stone. He could do all that. But instead, here's what he says in Psalm 34. Come and listen to me. And here's what I want to teach you. I want to teach you the fear of the Lord. See, the reason why then David took down the lion and the bear, the reason why he took down the giant is because of his fear of God. And that is it. He had such respect for the Word of God that instead of listening to everybody else, he listened to what God said. Don't you remember? We looked at it in 1 Samuel. Remember when he got out there in the valley where Goliath was down there in the valley taunting the Israelite army and telling them, why don't you send down your best man and whoever fights against me, if he can defeat me, then we'll be your servants. And if I defeat him, I'll be your servants. And everybody's scared and frightened. And all the king's men, all the army, they're all frightened and scared. And even King Saul, that great big head and shoulders above everybody else guy, he's in his tent scared to come out, ladies and gentlemen. And here comes little David, the shepherd of his father's sheep, and he comes to bring some food to his brothers and to the leaders of the army from his father. And when he gets there, he says, listen, this big giant down there in the valley shouldn't be talking like that. He shouldn't be defying the armies of the living God. What is this guy down there defying the armies of the living God? Why are you all afraid? You shouldn't be afraid of him. And he goes on talking like that. And his brothers, remember his brothers, they say to him, David, you need to be quiet. What are you, just come up here to try to act big? Is that what you did? Try to make yourself somebody? You need to be quiet. You need to settle down, buddy. And the other people begin to hear him. The other soldiers begin to hear him. And again, like his brothers, they're trying to settle him down. Who does he think he is coming up here? I mean, what soldier is going to go down there and get his head cut off by this great big giant named Goliath? David, you need to be quiet. When King Saul heard about him, he brought him into his tent, and eventually David went down into the valley. You know the reason why David went into the valley? The reason why is because he refused to listen to his brothers and listen to God. It's because instead of listening to the other soldiers who are hiding in fear, God had spoken to him, and he listened to God. Instead of listening to Big King Saul hiding in his tent, he listened to God and obeyed him. That's why he went in the valley. And when he got down there, ladies and gentlemen, God's goodness provided what he needed when he got there. Oh, listen, he didn't want for anything. He didn't need a sword. He was going to use Goliath's sword. He didn't need no shield, because Goliath wasn't even going to get a shot off at him. You know, all he needed was what he already had in his hand. He had a slingshot. And when he got down there close enough, he saw a little brook and he saw some stones there, and he reached down there and he grabbed five of them, put them in his pouch. He only needed one for Goliath, but he had the other four just in case his brothers showed up to help him. That's my opinion. Listen to me. The reason why that he won the battle is because he feared God. Not man, but God. He said, come here, children. I'll teach you the lesson that will give you victory throughout your life. It's a lesson about fearing the Lord. Verse 12 says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Then you need to keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And listen to verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears. He heareth them and delivered them out of all of their troubles. Those who are in right relationship with God. Listen, when you get down in that dark place, in that difficult circumstance, you can cry out to God, and God will hear you. And God will bring you out. That is, God will deliver you out of your troubles. Listen to verse 18. The Lord is nigh or near unto them that have a broken heart. Do you hear it? He saveth such as be of a contrite, humble spirit. Those who've been broken and humbled. The Lord is near, and the Lord rescues them. Listen to verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and they are. Do you hear that? Listen, the prosperity gospel preachers of our day need to read this song. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The righteous have a lot of weaknesses and struggles and troubles and trials. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. David's got problems on every side. He's got Saul hunting him down, looking for him. His army's looking for him. They have orders to kill him. And now here he is in the city of Gath, and everybody's looking at him strange, like maybe they know him. So everywhere he is, there's trouble, there's danger, there's persecution. David said, you know what I did? I cried out to God in the middle of all of that. And God in his goodness rescued me. I was broken in the middle of it. Humbled in the middle of it. And God heard me when I cried out to him. And God saved me and delivered me out of it all. The Bible says in verse 20, he keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous. Listen, those who hate the righteous are going to be desolate, empty. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants. He rescues them, and none of them that trust in him, none of them that trust in him, that operate by faith, shall be desolate. Those who hate the righteous, the previous verse, they'll be desolate. But those who trust in the Lord, none of them shall be desolate or empty. Oh, you see, David, you hear the heart of David. Do you hear him? One day he looked back on those years when he was living in exile. He looked back on them. Many years later, he remembered them. And he wrote these words in Psalm 40. Listen to this. I waited patiently for the Lord. Wait patiently. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about 10 years of exile. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear to me, and he heard my cry. Listen, don't let me lose you at this point. I cried out to God in the middle of all of that, and he heard me. Verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. David said, I was in a terrible place. He says, like being down in a pit, like an old water pit. Down there in the pit, it's muddy. Like I was in a pit sinking in the mud, in a dark place, sinking lower and lower and lower. And you know what I did? Well, I cried out to him, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up out of that pit, out of that miry clay, and he set me on a solid rock, and he established my goings. Brought me up, set me on solid ground, and he gave me a brand new direction and a way to go. And not only did he do that, but verse number 3, he said, and he put a new song in my mouth. Even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear. And hopefully they too will learn to trust in the Lord. Listen to this, verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Say it again. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust. He's listening to what God is saying, trusting in it, making decisions based on it. Blessed is the man who's trusting God, blessed. And he doesn't fear or respect the proud or those who turn aside to believe lies. Oh, listen to me. David's trying to teach us how to be a conqueror, how to be victorious. It's not the absence of a valley. It's not the absence of affliction, but it's right in the middle of it that God's people experience victory and become conquerors. It's not the absence of a battle, but it's right in the middle of it that God's people become conquerors. It's not hiding from the enemy. You and I have an enemy that is not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, demonic traps and demonic activity. It's not hiding from the enemy that is the victory, but it's facing the enemy, exposing the enemy's lies, not respecting the proud and arrogant, and instead trusting in what God is saying. That's the key to victory. David, ladies and gentlemen, in the darkest times of affliction, in the deepest valleys as he was living in exile, found out that it's there, in those times, that God's people can be conquerors. And listen, you can too. You can. And that is, God has provided everything you need to be victorious. And listen to me now. It's just Him. It's Him. Let's pray. Father, would you just do your work among us and speak loudly to us? God, would you take your word and would you strengthen those, Father, who are weak and encourage those who are discouraged? God, would you provide direction for those who are seeking direction? God, would you lay, Father, before us, God, the direction we need to go in so that we can just listen to what you're saying God, help us to shut off the opinions of people. The voices, Father, Lord, that are vain and empty. God, those, Father, who don't know your mind and don't know your heart. David was a man after your own heart. So, Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to listen to what you're saying, to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, to hear the voice of those who know you and know your heart. God, who've waited before you and received an answer, those who know your mind, God, I pray that, God, our ears will be perked and our hearts will be tuned there, Father, and not to the lies of the world around us and to the vain talk, God, of those around us, so that we, Father, can walk in victory and be great conquerors. Father, would you deliver those, God, who've already taken a step in that direction, who've listened to the lies of their friends, who've, God, already started listening, God, to the influence of the ungodly around them, that are trying to influence them in an ungodly direction, the bad influences that are trying to influence them in the wrong direction. God, I pray, Father, that you'd open the eyes of those, Father, who've been blinded by the flattery of those individuals, and God, of those organizations, and God, I pray that, Father, you let us see it for what it is. Open our eyes and let us see the demonic activity around it. And God, I pray the lies that are being told and the direction, God, that's full of vanity, so that we, Father, might turn our ears back towards you and listen to what you're saying and obey your direction and fear you more than we fear them. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're saying to us. Would you apply this to each of our lives now? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.